Welcome back to the Memphis Maniacs. It's been a while since I've given this podcast the proper attention that it's needed, but since we're on quarantine and I got plenty of time on my hands, I figured it would be a good time to restart this back. I'm here today with two of my best friends, Mr. Maurice and James Kendrick, to discuss the unique neighborhood of French Fork.
I must be your number one fan. Baby, I just want to see you dance. You ain't even trying to have a man. Came with your friends. Look like I don't stand a chance. But I know she gon' come around. Bounce it up and down. She gon' come and clown with me. But I know she gon' come around. Bounce it up and down. Control remote TV. Shorty nice right. Looking like I'm finna roll a dice right. And she make it clap like we finna do a high five. Vice by a hater when I'm looking from the right. I think I really found my vibe. Saturday nights, sipping my ties. That's a nickname for my baby late at night.
All right, guys, just a refresher on what Memphis Maniacs is. This is a podcast that's dedicated to highlighting lesser known neighborhoods, streets, and cul-de-sacs in Memphis. And what we're trying to do is tackle the neighborhoods through the lens of past, present, and future with the context of people that have personal experience. That brings me to my two friends here, both of which have grown up in French Fork. If you wouldn't mind, please introduce yourself.
Can I go first? My name is Maurice Moore. Grew up in French Fork. Been there since 1984. Seen a lot of different ups and downs with French Fork. Still connected to the neighborhood, but officially moved out maybe around 2015, actually. So maybe 5 years ago. And so that's just a little bit about me and French Fork.
Ooh, and JT.
All right. I'm JT, everyone. Also a, I guess, a third generation French Forter. We could say that. I was born in the 80s, 1982. I currently do just a little bit of history about me. U of M graduate, went to Central High School. I currently work in public safety and also assist with investments and property management and things of that nature. And I love my city and I love French Fork. I still wave my French Fork flag proudly.
Cool. And so, you know, one of the things I wanted to start with was kind of the past of French Fork, right? So just setting the table, just in case you guys didn't know or the listeners didn't know, French Fork is the area that, JT, you did a good job at describing the area. Would you mind actually detailing kind of where it is?
French Fork is the area that connects, I would say, what we know as downtown Memphis to South Memphis or kind of Whitehaven in a weird way, or to President's Island, I guess is a better statement. President's Island being the southwest industrial area. Where you have connects with the river, you have connects with Arkansas, you have connects with kind of Mississippi, just kind of a hub of, you know, based off of the river and based off of other commerce. And we're a neighborhood right between that and the old bridge. So it's kind of hard to miss, or it's easy to miss. But once you get there, you'll know that this is where you are.
Yeah. One way I've described it is if you're on I-55 going downtown, it's the exit before I-55 turns into Riverside Drive. So, you know, I've never really had too much experience with French Fork in general. Only when I really became friends with you guys, I never really had a reason to go to French Fork. And so, you know, one of the first things that I guess caught my attention about French Fork was the the uniqueness of the houses and the architecture there. That's one part. But, you know, Memphians have a general sense of pride about themselves in general. But in particular, I feel like Whitehaven, Orange Mound, and French Fortress, for whatever reason, have like a real sense of pride about, you know, that neighborhood. And they really try and, you know, if you say anything negative about French Ford, you know, it's they on your ass about it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that sense of community is something that's always kind of stood out to me. And I guess that's because of the natural history of French Ford, especially, you know, obviously you guys come from affluent family. Well, affluent is probably not the word, but you guys come from good stock, basically, right? And so there's a large African-American contingency in that area, and that's probably because it was one of the first neighborhoods that was that allowed for non-racial prejudice because the development was from federal money, right? So it was basically one of the first neighborhoods where African-Americans could purchase homes, new homes, without there being any repercussions. Right. And I know that really happened kind of in the early 50, late 50s and early 60s. And I'm not sure if that's your family's stories, but you know, I can imagine that's why a lot of good Black folk, you know, come from French Fort, because the families, you know, picked themselves up by their bootstraps and, you know, made a life for themselves and made a community for themselves in French Fort. Mm-hmm. So, you know, can you guys kind of, you know, go through you guys' history with, or maybe some nostalgia that you guys have of French Fort?
Okay. Well, if you know Memphis, Memphis used to be bordered by the parkways, North Parkway, East Parkway, and South Parkway. So if you think everything outside of that has grown into what we now know as Memphis, but back in the beginning, that was your borders. Everything else was considered the county. And that's where you get the different neighborhood names and so on and so forth, Capelvilles and White Havens, things like that. So for us, you take my family, I believe we were the first owners of that house on my street. I grew up right down the street from Maurice, he and his family. I grew up on a street called Esplanade, which in French means, I think, a long strolling area, which is rested by a sea, something like that, which ironically, it it's runs
actually kind of accurate, actually.
Well, you know, I do what I can. and I got Google pulled up over here on this other.
What do you mean? Soccer blue.
That's all good, man. You can edit that out. You hear me? So it was, and correct me if I'm wrong, Maurice, it was one of the initial sites of the French and Indian War. Mm-hmm. We grew up having access to what is we knew as the DeSoto Park. I think it's Chickasaw Heritage Park. Again, very Native American, very French terms. And we grew up in an area where, like I said, we had dual parent households. If you can think of kind of now, we kind of laugh at people when we say they are, you know, those guys kind of have like the military starter pack, where it's got to have like a Dodge Hellcat, got to have the J's. Uh-huh. The guy that went to the military and is uniquely military. Well, we had a lot of that then, but back then it was Cadillacs and Lincolns. Mm-hmm. These strong Black men came back and married and moved to that area. Again, with the French, I mean, with the federal funding. And I don't really know anything other than it was just a great neighborhood. We were off to ourselves. We had pretty much everything we needed or access to everything. Just a great place to be. And I'll let Maurice take over.
Yeah, well, I grew up on a street that's basically connected to Esplanade, which is called Domaine. So I don't know what it means in French. But in Memphis, since it got Maine at the end, then we all good. So, you know. And so the neighborhood is weirdly constructed for me, but I like it. For the reason I say that is because it's two circles that's kind of connected. So I live in a smaller circle, and that smaller circle is about, it's not even a mile around. I used to run it when I was younger and trying to see how long it was. So it's not even a mile around. The bigger one is about, in totality, I think it's about a mile around. So the bigger one is maybe 0.7 of a mile, the small, or 0.6 of a mile, to, no, 0.7. Smaller is about 0.3. But everything is basically connected by those two circles. And there are three entrances and exits into, or, you know, exit in a neighborhood. One of them, you have to cross a bridge. And the way I kind of learned the streets, even though this French streets for the most part, that's around, but connected, I say it's like SEC, because you have like Kentucky Street, you have Florida. So I think of SEC to kind of connect the streets, to kind of figure out where I'm going. Or like you got the Big 12 streets with Kansas and Wisconsin, you know. So I'm thinking of, oh, okay, you know, we talking about, you know, what's the Big Five conferences when you're talking about what's connected actually to kind of maneuver around the area. And when you come in on Wisconsin Street, you have to cross a bridge, which they built I-55 on the back end of French Fort. French Fort was actually there before I-55.
Yes.
And on another side, you come in, you have to cross kind of railroad tracks, and it separates basically Channel 3 from our side as well. So they kind of and it also I-55 curls around. I believe that's the I-55, isn't it? Crump. And it curls around to I-55, I believe, still going to West Memphis, the old bridge. So they kind of cut up the neighborhood and kind of made it where it's ducked off and secure, because it's surrounded by the expressway almost on all sides, besides that third side, which you have to get off I-55 actually early on President's Island Drive. And you go through a little twist and turns. You have to go up a big hill in order to get to the neighborhood. Well, and I want to actually rephrase what I said about the two circles, because it's actually three circles. Now, the third circle is by our – it's in DeSoto Park. And so it's not Riverside Drive. I think it's called Riverside Street. It's not Riverside Drive, though, that's the big circle. And that circle is actually bigger than the other two combined, because it surrounds a park. Mm-hmm. And so if you come in up the big hill that I'm referring to and you go around to the left side, you will see the park on your right, but also you will see a beautiful scenery of the Mississippi Bridge and also the Mississippi River. I'm not Mississippi Bridge, the
Memphis,
Arkansas Bridge, and the Mississippi River on your left. You keep going around, you will see the Metal Museum, which was part of the old Naval Marine Hospital. Keep going around, you will see the Marine Hospital, which they are, if I'm not mistaken, they're trying to update it and make condos. If you look to the right of that, right across, you will see the park. Now, the unique thing about our park is Mr. Kendrick was correct when he said that, you know, French and Indian War was fought in our neighborhood. And for a long time, they had reenactments in our neighborhood of the French.
Shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were. So you have Confederate soldiers and everything, you know, they'll dress up in their gear with the big beards and all that. And they have a reenactment with a picnic afterwards. But I remember we used to have a cannon that was in our neighborhood that has been removed. But we used to play with the cannon, and we also have two Indian burial mounds. Mm-hmm. One of them we used to go up to, and it's and we can just consider them hills because that's what it looked like. But one of them has an entrance that's been, you know, bricked up. But up that hill, in the middle, we used to call it Donut Hill because it had one single tree in the middle, but it looked like a cannonball just landed in the middle and blew the hill out. Mm-hmm. And it seems like later on somebody came and put, you know, a tree, planted a tree in the middle. And then you had a smaller burial mound that's adjacent to that. That is still a pretty big mound. I would say if I had to guess, it's about what, maybe 17, 18 feet high, something like that. But that's something that we used to run up and play around with. And, you know, recently, well, not recently, but maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago, they expanded the walkway to make it more park-like. Mm-hmm. And put other structures and statues, you know, just to make it more park-like and just to capture the significance of the area. And so we go farther into, and so those are the entrances to our neighborhood. But going farther into the neighborhood, a lot of nice houses, different type of houses. I think the earliest construction was in the 50s. The latest was in the 70s. My parents actually purchased their house. They were the first owners of the house. And my mother, she purchased the house in 1971, I believe. I think she was born in I ain't gonna give her age away, but I think she was 21.
Damn.
So, she purchased their house.
So to cut in, Maurice is saying is those circles he's saying are representing of the phases of the development in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Correct. Oh, yeah, correct.
Makes sense. So the first phase was kind of late 50s, which I think mine was 61-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Maurice came a few years later. That's why I say it's kind of weird. I want to say I'm a second or third generation French Quarter, depending on how you look at it. Everyone kind of started filing in around the late 50s, but you mm-hmm. didn't get done until the 70s.
Right.
So it's a real big jump there. It's like a 17-year gap between like 58 and or 56, 57 into like the early 70s.
Mm-hmm. And that's when you see the different style homes as well.
Okay.
Because of that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can, and some of the construction from the 50s look similar to that of the 70s, but you can still tell little differences. They added or they may have removed little things or improved on the design because it's what you do. But what I used to always love to do myself when I was younger was just walk and just look at the actual houses and look at the construction and say, oh, okay, this is pretty cool. And when I got old enough to actually, you know, I had a little money and wanted to maybe purchase something, I would look and say, oh, okay, this is the square footage of that. They saw the aerial view of it. I'm like, okay, this is the square footage of that. This is cool. I would have never known that this house was this big, you know, mm-hmm. just from looking at it from the outside because of how it was constructed. And I would say there may be about 12 to 15 different type of different
styles of houses.
Right? Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. For the homes. And so, again, it's really unique. We have one extremely unique house that's it looks like an octagon, actually.
Mm.
And so I haven't seen a house that looks like that that's the only house I've ever seen look like that. And it's very cool. I've never been in the house, but I would love to go one day just to see, like, how is it really set up in the inside? Because I'm like, okay, this is some weird but cool, you know, amazing construction.
Yeah. So could y'all kind of tell me, what was the community like back then? You know, did you guys have, like, a candy lady? Did y'all have, like, a... you know, firework wars on July 4th, just tell me what it was like back then.
The neighborhood did not have dual parent households was the most, was I'd say 80 to 90% of it. Anywhere from government workers to educators to postal workers or men who had left the military and had maybe joined the post office to carry over their military time. So you had structure. You had, everyone had bought into the idea of we're going to keep our yards up. I'm not sure if mm-hmm. they had an HOA, but they didn't need one. People just knew we're not going to be the slough house on the street. That's just not, you know, we're not going to be that. So we did have Candy Ladies.
Shout out to May May.
Yeah, we had very leave your door open at night and your stuff would still be there. I think if I'm not mistaken, there was a scene in the movie Great Balls of Fire with Jerry Lee Lewis, which I think was shot kind of near where Maurice stayed. I remember when I was little.
Other side, it's over.
It's a little bit.
It's the other cul-de-sac.
Yeah, but it was closer to you. I remember riding my bikes. We couldn't go down there, but we could stand back and watch, and we saw trailers. And if you can imagine shooting a predominantly white movie in a predominantly black neighborhood, I mean, and I don't even think I've seen the movie or remember. I remember seeing the part where they showed our neighborhood, and I was like, yo, that's so dope. But I'm just trying to give you an idea of, you know, the parents knew each other. So if I acted up, Maurice's mom would call mine. That's not unheard of. We went to school together. We gave each other rides. We were very old school because the people who had gotten there, like he said, his mom, younger couples, fresh out of the military, things like that. They were grown up in the 30s and 40s where you still had that it takes a neighborhood to raise a child type of thing. And again, all black. Mm-hmm. Just a really well-to-do neighborhood. I can't, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn. Again, there are other areas that are just as important and just as nice. Mm-hmm. But we didn't need much. We had access to the Southgate Shopping Center, which was our grocery store.
Yeah,
there was an Auto Shack there to test your knowledge to see how old that is, which later turned into AutoZone.
And a big dog over there.
They're out of Forest City, so it makes sense why they have a hub downtown. We had Radio Shacks. We had a Zaire, I think. We had drugstores. Dr. Champion was 6 minutes away.
Yeah.
We really had like our own little community.
And to piggyback off of that, because of the different phases of development, the maybe older, more seasoned, wiser individuals stayed in the first part of the development, which was JT and his grandmother, later passed on to his mother, you know, and a couple of my other friends whose grandparents stayed in the neighborhood, but also the parents stayed in the neighborhood as well.
Wow.
Yeah, and so my development on my side was, of course, a little younger. So the children were closer in age. So everyone on my street was within 3 years of each other. You know, I was, me and my next door neighbor, we were the youngest, but, you know, we were the children all together. I mean, on this one street on Dumaine. It was maybe, what, 7 or 8 of us. And then you go around the circle, you had a couple others. My cousin actually lived on the other side of the circle. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we built relationships like that. And, you know, we played basketball. We would get together. And, you know, we had basketball courts or something in our backyards. Shout out to Jason and his dad for building that. I remember when we were younger, we used to go swimming. We had swimming pools in the backyards of some of the houses. At our park, we had a full court. You know, we had swing set at first and all those things. And you know, so everybody just it was a real neighborhood of children. And my brother, who is actually 13 years older than me, he had his own set as well of friends that were around his age and they grew up in the neighborhood, you know, so you didn't have to go far to find friends in the neighborhood, you know, and mostly, you know, two parent homes, a lot of structure. You know, if you did anything wrong, you know, somebody's going to say something, a parent's going to say something. We got it. We got in trouble together. Mm-hmm. You know, we had sleepovers, spent the night with each other's house. We didn't always use over each other's homes as well. If we were at the park playing basketball, somebody would go to, you know, we'll bring a big jug of water. We run out, go home, get the water, bring it back. So we were really privileged. You know, also we had a hotel that was across, basically across the street as well, that we can go to, and if we needed anything, or go swimming, play arcade games, grab some sodas, things of that nature. And another fun fact, Mr. Kendrick, he stated about, you know, Great Balls of Fire being filmed in the neighborhood, but Hustle and Flow was also filmed in part of our neighborhood, which every time you see Under the Bridge, the mm-hmm. scenes that are under the bridge are actually in our neighborhood as well. And that is actually where the train, well, I don't think that train goes anymore, but
it's a bike.
So the Arkansas Memphis Bridge, right there, the old bridge.
I think so.
Under there, that's where some parts of Hustle and Flow were filmed. Okay. But again, just so proud of the neighborhood and of all the people who grew up in the neighborhood, grew up to be, you know, successful individuals, productive individuals, and we pride ourselves on our neighborhood, definitely.
Cool. All right, so let's pivot to, you know, present and the future. All right, so, you know, one thing today that I always find synonymous with French Fort is a couple things. So, but the main thing being the Metal Museum. So whenever most folks think of French Fort, they usually associate it with the Metal Museum. I personally have never been there, but I do know it is, a big attraction for people that enjoy industrial type of art. And so, you know, aside from the Metal Museum, I always remember that hotel that was it a Holiday Inn? Forget what type
Days of Days Inn, Sway, it changes.
There were actually two hotels.
Oh, yeah, there was a Holiday Inn. Yeah.
One has just been recently torn down in the last
yes.
5 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's probably the one that you remember the most.
Yeah, because it had a unique design to it, didn't it? Kind of like a 60s feel.
Kind of reminding you of the. It had an old style sign, kind of like an arrow.
Yeah, yeah.
They do drop in almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, you know, present day, you know, really the only reason that you have to go to French Fort is the Metal Museum, unless you actually live there. Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of this push and pull with, you know, keeping the old spirit of French Fort alive, but also moving the community forward, right? So the good thing about French Fort is there's that foundation of those families that still live there, that still, you know, keep their houses up, that still like their lawns to be nice. And that's, again, that's one thing that I found is a through line between prideful neighborhoods is, you know, if you go to Whitehaven, certain parts of Orange Mound, French Fort, usually those neighborhoods, the houses are still kept up. You're not going to see a lot of blight in those neighborhoods. Right. And so with French Fort, you know, is there anything that anyone's missing today that, you know, is there a reason to actually go to French Fort if you're someone that's, you know, not trying to go to the Metal Museum?
I'll say that, yeah, it's reasons to still go to French Fort because you still have a beautiful park that people still actually take advantage of and throw, you know, barbecues or, you know, picnics and family gatherings all the time, actually. You know, so, you know, downtown is basically the place to be. And just to have somewhere that's downtown but more secluded, you know, is attractive to a lot of people. Of course, the Metal Museum, I've been to inside the Metal Museum and took a tour maybe 3 times. And I got some work done. I got a bracelet made from the Metal Museum. But also I wanted to mention, again, the Marine Hospital, they're turning it into a condo and it should almost be finished now. But yeah, reasons definitely to come to the area. We do like it that it's secluded and it doesn't have a lot of traffic, but we do also understand that as downtown grows and you know people will find this hidden gem more often. So for me, the attraction is the peace that you get just from walking through the park, mm-hmm. sitting on a bench and looking out at the Mississippi River and just, you know, relaxing and easing your mind. I used to go out there all the time as a teenager and watch the sunset.
Yeah.
You know, over the river. I love water. And so just to be able to watch the sunset over the river is something that brought me so much peace. And, you know, were you able to do that in French Fork? Mm-hmm. So that is just the attraction that I get from wanting to go to French Fork.
Gotcha.
For me, the neighborhood has changed somewhat. However, the majority of the – what happened with French Fork is the first generation, some of them have started to die off, those first generation French Forkers, and the second or third generations have come in and taken over those homes. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing because that shows you that even in 2020, people are still looking to buy houses that were constructed in the early 60s, early 70s. Of course, just like any other neighborhood, you're going to have those that have bought their grandparents' house or were willed their mother's or father's homes. And you have renters because they've maybe moved out of town or moved into another area. But if you think about the downtown area, downtown does not look the same way it looked 10 years ago. North of downtown, that looks totally different. Those housing projects are no more. Just that whole area is different. If you look at the middle, what's the museum? I can't think of it. The Civil Rights Museum. Mm-hmm. That whole area has just blossomed. So when you look at that, it wasn't that nice when we were growing up, even though we didn't see any of that because we pretty much stayed in our corner. Man, you're in, I wouldn't say necessarily walking distance, but you're definitely in biking distance. You're definitely in Uber distance. So if it's one of those things where it's like, hey, I want to go to Memphis in May. Well, we can park in my house or back in the day, we could have parked at, let's say, Maurice's folks' house or my folks' house, and we could have taken one car. We walked down to the river before just to watch the fireworks or mm-hmm. from our yards or our porches,
mm-hmm.
You know, for the 4th of July and things like that. So because of the influx of revenue, how downtown has come a long way, I would say yes. When you said the future of French Fork, President's Island still is a thing because of the type of toxins and the type of it's just industry. Yeah. And that's the one thing that I would say is maybe a little bit of a Debbie Downer, is that you have industry and commerce so closely to residential. That's kind of a zoning no-no, and it's not far enough to where you don't smell the effects or can feel the effects. Now, I don't know anyone who has said, hey, because I live so close to President's Island, I feel that I've caught some type of cancer or had some type of issues. I don't know anyone who said that, but I have heard people say that, hey, maybe growing their own vegetation might not be the thing, because some of us like to start small gardens. Hey, I'm going to grow my own tomatoes or whatever. But it's like, maybe not. You have to be cautious with that. But just proximity alone, I would say yes.
Yeah, and sort of piggyback off of what JT was talking about, Mr. Kendrick was talking about from a future standpoint, I do know, you know, a few years back, there was a huge, I don't know if grant is the right word, but there was a huge contingency for, you know, urban development for mm-hmm. French Fork. I think French Fork, it was like $138 million allocation of money for, you know, mixed development for like new hotels or new hotel redeveloping that hotel that was already there. you know, grocery store that was within that area. And I believe there was, you know, some apartment complexes that were being developed as well. You know, that was probably about 5 or 6 years ago when that news came out. And, you know, really hadn't seen the fruits of that yet. And I don't know if we necessarily wanted to in the first place, because, you know, as you all know, the story of all, you know, black neighborhoods is, you know, new money comes in and drives out the old neighborhood. So on the one hand, you know, you do want progressiveness to come into, or money to come into your neighborhood, but you want to be able to reap the benefits of that progressiveness as well. So, you know, what are some of the things, you know, what are some of the things that you do want to see? I know, JT, you said, you mentioned, you know, maybe a little bit more separation from President's Island, or at least maybe some type of hard line with President's Island. But, you know, what else would you like to see moving forward with French Ford? You know, is that that urban development, you know, a good thing necessarily? You know, what's going on with it? And, you know, what else would you like to see in general?
I would like it to remain protected. And here's what I see, or just kind of history kind of helps you to prepare for the future. The House of Representatives that's over District 86, which is that neighborhood, is Barbara Cooper. And I'm telling you this because she is a former educator. She is very hard-nosed, and she's been in the House for years. She has fought for French Fort so diligently, and I just had to give her her flowers while she can still smell them. At one point, they wanted to construct a expressway, like an off-ramp, right through the middle of French Fort, and residents were up in arms, and I mean, it was just a whole lot of uproar. And to this day, there has been no expressway that has been wedged through the neighborhood. They have made, you know, upgrades to the existing expressway, which kind of leads you to the old bridge. But again, that doesn't affect us. Where I'm going with this, with the new, what West Memphis is doing is going to be very interesting in the next 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What Memphis has done and what Mayor Strickland is looking to do is very interesting. I believe that this dog track, what we used to know as the dog track, is about to change West Memphis for a lot of people. And just when you have any concentrated area, all of the people in the property start spreading outward, if that makes sense, from the central hub. They go out into the outskirts. So now you're looking at West Memphis being a thing. You're looking at downtown Memphis being a bigger thing or a better thing or a new downtown Memphis. And again, I don't think French Fort residents, they're going to benefit from it by having proximity, but I don't think they want the commercialization. As for me, I'm actually looking to purchase property in there, over there. And I wrestle with the idea that if I were to get my, like my parents' home, would I stay in it or would I rent it? Or, and that's a real thought for me. I would definitely stay in it and renovate it and kind of make it a little bit more modern and be just fine. So for me, I think they want to stay where they are and, you know, hey, you know, don't start nothing, won't be nothing type of thing.
Yeah.
So there was a guy, his name, if I'm not mistaken, is a Caucasian developer named Lauren Cruz, I believe. He actually bought the Marine Hospital. And I think he's the person who's actually turning it into condos. I don't think they're apartments. I think they're condos. People are going to be living there. My thing about this particular thing or person is, you know, he created, I think they created a Facebook group, put pictures up and everything. Basically, it seemed like, for me, they were trying to take over and control something that did not belong to them and act like the people who were actually living in the neighborhood weren't living in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. If you look at the pictures, nobody in the neighborhood, no one looks like us, even though it's all black.
Yeah.
No one looks like us in those pictures. No one looks like us when he's marketing to come to the Marine Hospital. You know, it's like we're not the demographic that is being looked at, even though we've had the neighborhood for over 70 years. So when it comes to that, and this happened, you know, started maybe 2012, 2010, I'm not sure. However, when you see that, it also was a big discrepancy of why the Holiday Inn was still up, even though it was empty for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, the guy didn't want to tear it down because he wanted, even though it was an outsource coming into the neighborhood, he wanted us to make concessions, but he wouldn't give us concessions. Like, mm-hmm. we were not part of any of these plans. Now, he would say, well, come on and see these plans, but you didn't reach out to the neighborhood you didn't have us involved on anything that you were trying to do. You had your team. Who was a part of your team from the neighborhood? And that's the biggest thing for me.
I was told something different about that hotel. I was told that that developer or the guy who – and this hotel was abandoned. It mm-hmm. used to be nice at one point, but there are two hotels. One still remains. I mm-hmm. guess it took the service from the other one. I don't know what happened. That was a little bit before us. I was told that he knew that downtown was about to explode. Mm-hmm. And so he just held on to his cards, mm-hmm. thinking that if I can just hold on a little longer, you're going to either A, get tired of me and run me out, or B, the price of this whole zip code is going to go up to the point to where I can ask pretty much the king's ransom and get it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think he kind of did get a little bit more than what he would have gotten had he turned his cards in maybe 10 or 15 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to him for being patient, but yeah, like Maurice said, that was an eyesore for 20 years almost.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's serving two things, right? So, you know, you have that blight, so you bring the property value down.
Right.
Right. Right. And on the back end, as development is moving further south, you get to cash in on that land.
And I saw the plans of what he wanted to do, and the plans, again, did not incorporate any aspect of the neighborhood that was there. It was all on the outskirts. I saw the apartments. I saw that, you know, the only reason that it was stopped because a roundabout was not built. Had the roundabout been built that the city did not do, thank God the city didn't do it. Had the roundabout been built, then our whole neighborhood would have changed. But because mm-hmm. of that, the neighborhood, the plans would not work. And it was like A through F plans.
Yeah, I think some phone calls were made. There are still some heavy hitters in French Fork. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give their name. I wish I could, but for their safety and their families, just peace of mind, I won't do that to them. That's just not fair. But it's still some heavy hitters out there that still give back, that still are connected, and they want to be left alone. The reason you find mm-hmm. our neighborhood beautiful is because we've had it beautiful since we've got there.
Right, right, right.
The reason you even are entertaining the idea of building, like Maurice said, taking the hospital and turning it into something marketable is because you saw, hey, these black people,
mm-hmm.
because it does not look like what you want to say a South Memphis black neighborhood looks like.
Yeah.
That's the fool part of it. That's the part that kind of fools you or throws you off. Because we're still 38108. Or 38106, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But it's not the 38106 that you would vision if you saw 38106.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I saw the plans, beautiful plans, great plans, but who was it going to benefit? Was it going to benefit us?
No.
No.
So let's just say hypothetically, you know, what if those plans included you guys, right? So what is it? What is it that the residents, you know, want? You know, do you want better parks?
Well, yeah. So what I want and for the neighborhood is more security. So mm-hmm. when you see some of these neighborhoods, the gated communities, you know, it's a sense of security. I would like to see French Fort as a gated community because it's only three ways in and three ways out. Mm-hmm. However, anybody can come in, anybody can go out. Mm-hmm. And so people have come in who honestly, you know, should not have been there because they were up to no good.
Yeah.
Not because, you know, not because I feel some type of way about who the people were. It says when you are up to no good, you know, it looks bad. You're not helping anyone. So
no, it is what it is, man. I mean, it's part of the city, part of the fabric of the city. That there's an element there that's always going to happen.
So just a gated community with guards. Also, things that we can be more self-contained because even though JT mentioned, you know, the Big Star and Audio Shacks, or was it Audio Zone?
Auto Shack. Before it was Auto Zone. That's right. Yeah.
And so I would like to see something that's closer, like mm-hmm. a market for the neighborhood where they can get, you know, fresh produce or
yeah.
food. I would like to see, back in the 1800s, they actually had a landing, I believe, like a kind of like a Bill Street landing. Mm-hmm. But it was a landing right there. It also had movie theaters and a movie theater and a bowling alley. So I would like something like that. You know, we used to have the Peabody Place. And you put a Peabody Place down there. Well, it don't have to be that big, but yeah. Something to that area, which doesn't have to be in the neighborhood, but on the other side, it's kind of attached. But for us to do that, we don't have to drive somewhere. Mm-hmm. We can walk somewhere. We can relax and have fun. And also, I would like to see the expressway moved further because my parents have one of the houses that's actually on the back, like the back of my parents' home is the expressway. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and to me, that's not cool. It gets noisy at night sometimes, especially when trucks come through. So if they could just make that like I-55 in somewhere else or run it where it can go further out.
Best thing you could do with that is maybe add a barrier, a sound barrier,
mm-hmm.
like they do over on the 40, like when you had Perkins, kind of like where across from where the old Mall of Memphis used to be.
Yeah.
Barriers. I disagree with Marius. Love him dearly. But I disagree. I think that what makes French Fort unique is that fact that they are nestled away. It's that fact that you don't know, like you said, James, you had no reason or no knowledge of French Fort.
Mm-hmm.
Unless either us or something at the Meta Museum. I think that's what French Fort residents enjoy. I think that's a part of it. That's the fabric, if you would. We don't want comers. I'm speaking we. I guess it's old habits.
No, I agree with that. No, keep going. I agree with that.
I think we got the best of both worlds. We're close enough to your mm-hmm. comers, West Memphis, the Walmarts. West Memphis looks totally different than it did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Your hotels, mm-hmm. again, the Dog Track is bringing in a lot of money, a lot of new things. They're going to be exciting. We're close enough to downtown. An Uber away, a bike ride away. But we also like our privacy. The fact that we're concealed. The fact that we don't bother you. We don't come to your neighborhood looking for trouble. Don't come to ours.
And to piggyback off of JT, real fast, JT.
Huh?
Real fast, to piggyback off of what you said. Mm-hmm. Please, I would love for you to finish, but I want to mention this as well. Just like we're about around the same age, mm-hmm. what I would like to see the most is when the parents and grandparents transition.
Yeah,
we come back mm-hmm. and buy up the property. Hopefully, you know, they pass it on to us and we take care of their property. I don't have anything against anyone. But it's one of the only black communities that I know of that looks like it looks. So for me, I wish it would stay that way, but it's going to take the children and the grandchildren to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take pride in what you have and keep it you know, keep
take care of it.
Family, basically, you know, mm-hmm. keep it beautiful. Matter of fact, make it more beautiful. You know, add on. You know, renovate. Yeah. You know, we can do it ourselves, and that's what I would like to see. If we're gonna keep this thing private, which is cool, I would love that too. You know, more secure with the sound barriers, all these things. Let's beautify it more and transition some of these houses to infrastructure to fit more of the 21st century.
Yeah.
Okay. That's actually what I wanted to say. If we could maybe get our hands on the property, on our homes of our grandmother, grandparents, and our parents, if we could come back in, and at this point, again, we're middle 30, close to 40. Most of us are doing pretty good financially, pretty stable. We have families of our own. Man, I would love to say I've raised my children in French Fork. That would be so cool. I don't have any yet, but if I were to, you know, be fortunate enough to have children, wow, I raised my children in the same neighborhood that I grew up in.
Yeah. Just curious, what school are you guys supposed to go to at French Fork?
That's the weird part. Maybe so it would go from Riverview to Carver. Mm-hmm. Some people were able to sneak to BTW. I don't know how. But both of us went to Central. Maurice went to Whitehaven for a minute. He graduated from Central because he knew better. I know you're a Haven graduate. It is what it is.
I'll leave it alone this time. That's fine. There's reason I did a Whitehaven episode before I did French for it, but yeah, whatever. Well,
I'm not winning that argument anyway. I appreciate you for even showing up with your baseball bat in your hand. But I mean, that's it. Corey, I think at one point was the Alton Elementary, I think was the at one point what it was. I think those two are all gone now.
Well, cool. Well, yeah, I appreciate you guys coming on. You know, again, just to wrap up, you know, any neighborhood that you find pride in, you know, feel free to, you know, let your people know about it. Be prideful about it. And especially for French Fork, you know, I personally hope to see all the things that those residents want come to fruition. And you know, if you're prideful about where you live or that area, you know, step up for it, you know. Mm-hmm. No one else is going to do it but you. So mm-hmm. you know, again, I thank you very much. So JT and Maurice, you guys have anything else?
Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, man. Me too. Let's do it again. Let's talk about other neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah. I'll probably do North Memphis first, but, you know, it's a big area, so.
Have you hit that Peabody in that central Evergreen historic area?
So I know a couple of people that live over there. I mean, technically, I live there now.
Kind of, sort of. That's where I was going with this.
Yeah. So, yeah, I might do that area next. You know, we'll see. But anyway. Signing off. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Take care. Thank
you. Peace.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. More wicked ways than Hitler. Call them body bag zippers. I still got blood on my sleeves from murking these rap niggas. Dope kicker, pick of the litter. A known dome splitter. Foe slither trying to be slicker, but I spot dirt and blizzards. No one sicker, I'm at your dope whenever I deliver. Styles like a drunken monk, sipping the god elixir. Suckers quiver when I'm in sight. They quickly cease to bicker. Hard nickel raw to the core. You couldn't fuck with a picture of me. I'm a wolf on the hunt that hasn't been fed in weeks. Looking for the prey, so I...